So what a day in God's Word. And you know, the theme of this was on believing from Hebrews 11:6. And you know, if we believe God's Word, then we don't have to act religious. We believe the Word. We don't have to follow men. And what Jesse taught about is really cool. It's just like, it's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle of service. And that's really cool. It's not some religious trip, but we do things from our heart. You know, going to fellowship isn't like checking in, you know, to your work and, well, I did my religious duty for a week here. So not like that at all. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle of believing God and serving. And that was fantastic. And what Lisi taught too, you know, if we believe God in our life, we don't have to please people all the time. We can please God. And really, that sets you free. Because who are we really? I mean, the real, you know, we're Christ in us, the hope of glory. That was excellent. So two really interesting teachings on believing, if you will, in kind of an interesting application. We believe God's word, not we don't follow men, but we serve. And we believe God's word, and God's word tells us who we are. So today in God's word, I'd like to cover Jesus Christ, our decision or choice to believe. As we sit here today in the modern world, including the United States, the modern world is becoming more secular as man believes more in himself instead of the true God. Secular knowledge of various types are elevated ahead of knowledge of God and his word. Values and morals are based on public opinion rather than the design of the Creator. As throughout the ages, some reject the true God and his Son, Jesus Christ. Man's decision throughout the Bible has been to choose to believe, to decide to believe Jesus Christ. Take your Bibles, everybody, and let's look at John chapter 7, please. John chapter 7, Jesus Christ, our decision to believe. John chapter 7, and in verse 40, John 7. John 7. John 7, verse 40. It says, "And many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, 'Of a truth, this is the prophet,'" talking about Jesus Christ. Why don't we look at verse 39. It says, "But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, 'Of a truth, this is a prophet.' And others said, 'This is the Christ.' But some said, 'Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ comes out of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was?' So there was a division among the people because of him." People believed different things about Jesus Christ, and there was a division among the people. In today's world also, there's many different beliefs about Jesus Christ and subsequent divisions because of that. In some places, Jesus Christ is a bad word. So today, from a biblical perspective, we will look at Jesus Christ, our decision or choice to believe. Look at Acts chapter 2, please. Acts chapter 2. You know, it takes a lot of work to put this together, and going on behind the scenes is, you know, a lot of people in the kitchen work, people in the taking care of all the kids. We have a lot of kids today. A lot of noise was coming from in there, let me tell you. But that's okay. Looks like the kids had a great time. People came and shoveled outside and did a lot of stuff and set up and all these things, you know. But it's cool. We all work together as a body and able to do really cool things. Look at Acts chapter 2. Is that what I said? Yeah. Acts chapter 2. And in verse 34, it says, This is the beginning of Christianity here. For as David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith to himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus, whom thou hast crucified, both Lord and what?
Christ.
Israel crucified their Messiah. Oops, wrong guy. Crucified their Messiah, and God made him Lord and Christ. That's a big deal. If he's the Lord and he's the Christ or the Messiah, then what we think of him is a big deal. You know, life is full of serious choices, isn't it? Do I want to be a Mets fan or a Yankee fan? I mean, these things cut to the heart. Or do I care less about baseball? You know, maybe on a more serious note, what do I think about Chris Christie? What do I think about President Obama? All these different things. Everybody has an opinion of stuff. You know, what do we think of this guy or that guy? Everybody's different and whatever. But more important than Chris Christie or President Obama or any other person that's around today, what do we think about Jesus Christ? He's Lord. He's the Christ. That puts it on another level. You know, that kind of kicks it up a notch. How about John chapter 5, please? John 5. Dr. Rule used to say, you tell me what you think about Jesus Christ, and I'll tell you how far you go spiritually. That's an interesting one. John chapter 5 and in verse 39. John 5 and in verse 39. How are we going to get to know who Jesus Christ is? We're not searching for the historical Jesus here. We're not going to study the history. We're not going to try to dig up the Shroud of Turin or whatever. We're going to look at God's Word. In John chapter 5, verse 39, it says, search the Scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. To get to know Jesus Christ, we need to get to know God's Word. God's Word makes known Christ. Look at Genesis chapter 3, please. So now let's take a chronological look at the subject of Jesus Christ throughout the Bible and to see how it has been and still is man's decision to believe Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Look at Genesis chapter 3 and in verse 15. Some of us are very familiar with this verse. Here's a cool book. You might have this book. It's called Jesus Christ, Our Promised Seed. This is a very cool book dealing with this and many of the prophecies in the Old Testament that show that Jesus Christ was coming, and because they believed that in the Old Testament. Some of them did. Look at Genesis chapter 3 and in verse 15. And I will put enmity. Enmity means a separation, a condition of separation and hostility. I will put enmity between thee, you, Satan, and the woman, and between thy seed, Satan's seed, and her seed, the Christ. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This was a prophecy about the coming of the Messiah. One woman had seed without that didn't come from a man, and that was Mary. She got pregnant because God created sperm inside of her. The seed of the woman will ultimately destroy the devil and his works. Right after the fall of man, God gave people this so mankind could have hope. And throughout then the centuries, this prophecy was passed on so people knew about the coming of the Messiah. Right after the fall of man, God gave people hope. And what they were to believe was the coming of the Messiah. Look at John chapter 8. We're going through a little bit of the Old Testament. You know, Abraham, God told Abraham that through his son Isaac, the seed, the promised seed, was going to come. Abraham knew that Christ was going to come. Abraham knew some cool things about our redemption and salvation. It says that in Galatians chapter 3. Abraham knew that the Messiah was going to come, and it was going to come through him via Isaac. In John chapter 8, please. John 8. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 8. And in verse 56, John 8, 56, it says here, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was what?" In the Old Testament, they were to believe. They had God's word at various times. They had the law when the law was given. But they were to believe also that the Messiah was coming. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, he was going to come, and they were to believe it. Abraham rejoiced to see his day. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, please. David knew. These men knew and believed. There were prophecies and promises in the Old Testament to show that the Messiah was coming. They did things in the law, and the law was a schoolmaster until Christ. They did the sacrifices, but who was the ultimate sacrifice? Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 11. They were to believe that the Messiah was coming. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11 is what we call, it's not a biblical concept, the hall of fame of Old Testament believers. So many people are listed here in Hebrews 11. Doesn't say it's the hall of fame, but just people say that. There's a lot of wonderful people in the Old Testament that believed God, operated the manifestation of believing, did phenomenal things, and their life was at stake, and they believed God. And God worked in their life, and thereby their believing saved a lot of people and did phenomenal things. But these people also believed that the Messiah was going to come. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. It says, "All these died in what?" Like, there's like five people in here. Okay, repeat that, por favor. Okay, all these died in what?
Faith.
That's even wimpy. All these died in what?
Faith.
Ah, now, see? That's better. Okay, all these died in what?
Faith.
Okay, all these died in faith, not having received the promises or that which was promised. They looked forward to see his day, but they didn't see the Christ. But they believed. They looked forward. They didn't receive, you know, what was promised, Jesus Christ and everything he accomplished. All these died in believing, not having received the promises, but having seen them what?
Afar off.
Remember Abraham? He saw, you know, Christ's day and rejoiced. He saw them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. These people operated the manifestations. They operated the manifestation of believing. They did a lot of wonderful things, but they also believed that the Messiah was coming. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39. Hebrews 11, verse 39. Hebrews 11, verse 39. It says here, "And these all, having obtained a good report through what?"
Faith.
Through what?
Faith.
"These all, having obtained a good report through believing, received not what?"
The promise.
They believed. They believed that Christ was going to come, but they did not receive that which was promised. They didn't receive the Lord Jesus Christ. He hadn't come yet. They were in the Old Testament. They looked forward to see his day. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith or believing, it's impossible to please him. Like Lisi's teaching. You know, if we're pleasing God, that's great. We don't have to worry so much about pleasing other people. And Jesse's teaching, we can serve with love because we want to please God, not people. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In the Old Testament, they believed God at many wonderful occasions. And part of their believing in the Old Testament was to believe that the Messiah was going to come. Look at Romans chapter 9, please. Romans 9. We doing okay so far? Yeah. Romans 9. Romans 9. Anybody want a mint? No, you're out of my range here. Anybody else? Romans 9. Romans 9, look at this. So we just were looking at people who believed in the Old Testament, right? But not everybody believed. Look at Romans chapter 9, verse 30. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith or believing. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, because they sought it not by believing or faith, as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed or disappointed in his expectation. Who is the stumbling stone? Jesus Christ is the stumbling stone. In the Old Testament, they were to keep the law. But in keeping the law, they were to believe that the Messiah was going to come. It just wasn't doing the works and forgetting and working and not believing. But they were to believe. They were to believe a lot of things. And one of the things that they were to believe was that Christ was coming. Here it says, they stumbled at the stumbling stone. And it's in the context of people not believing. He is a stumbling stone. And all of us have stepped on a lot of stones before. When you have a big stone, you can stumble over it or you can stand upon it. We stumble at the stumbling stone when we don't believe. They stumbled at him out of unbelief. Yet, when we believe God's word, we stand upon that stone. He is the stumbling stone. He is Jesus Christ, the whole foundation. Take your Bibles and look now at the Gospel of John. Let's look at John and see in the Gospel of John a very interesting record. In the Gospels, he was right there. In the Old Testament, they prophesied about him. They wrote about him. They told the people that he was coming. In the Gospel of John, he was right there with them. John chapter 6. This record happened right after the feeding of the 5,000, which was what Jesse was reading before. John chapter 6, please. That would have been cool to be there and see all that. Jesus Christ fed 5,000 people. No grease trucks back then. Look at John chapter 6. Verse 26. So people just had, 5,000 people get fed. Now here's a crowd And they were part of that crowd. In verse 26, it says, "And Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me, not because you saw the miracles, the feeding of the 5,000, but because you did eat of the loaves and were what?" How was that fellowship with Jesus Christ? Man, it was delicious. That fish I had, man, I put some wild onions I got from the field and some rosemary on that. Man, it was delicious. I needed some wine, though, to wash it down. I was kind of hoping he'd change some water into wine, but he didn't do it. How was that fellowship, man? It was delicious. Wow, studying the Bible is really fun. They were there for the wrong reasons. Now watch this. In verse 27, it says, now he's talking to people that came for the food. "Labor not for the meat which perishes," nice steak, "but for the meat which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed." Hey, I want some of that meat that's for everlasting life. Remember, they were there because they ate of the loaves. They ate of the food, and they wanted, that's what they were about. So, hey, labor not for the meat which perishes, but for the meat that endures to everlasting life. What a cool response to these guys. Verse 28. And then said they unto him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" In the context, it's working for some of that meat. "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Verse 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath what?" There it is right there. It doesn't get much plainer. Everybody's working, doing all this stuff. Here, Jesus Christ said, "This is the work of God that you believe regarding me." Isn't that great? Back then, they were to believe him. They saw him. He was right there eating with them. He was right there hanging out with them. They could see him. They could hear him. They saw the miracles, and they were supposed to believe. They were to believe him, and he was right there. Believe regarding him. Verse 30, they said therefore unto him, watch this, "What sign showest thou then that we may see and believe? What doest thou work? In other words, hey, we want a sign. Did they just see something?
Yeah.
He fed the 5,000. What more do you want? That's pretty amazing. And they're asking for a sign? He just fed the 5,000. Now watch this. Now they're talking to him. "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven." Hey, Moses gave them bread. What can you give us? Well, no, you're up to bat. What are you going to do? Moses gave us a sign. He gave us bread. Now, it's your turn. Give us a sign, Matt. 32. Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven." Ooh, tell me more. You know, Moses gave them manna, and there was millions of people from Israel in the desert. No grease trucks, no McDonald's, no a lot of the other stuff, no Chinese takeout. And there they were, and God kept them alive by manna and other things, quail. So this bread they got, the manna, it was something to keep them alive when they, without that, would have died. This bread, this manna was something that would have kept them alive, and without that, they would have died. Verse 32, if you're tired, just like stand up or have your neighbor hit you, slap you. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which comes down from heaven and gives life unto the world. Therefore they said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. That's what I want. Verse 35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never what? It was the manna in the desert that kept them alive when they would have died. Maybe 2.5 million people got kept alive because of this manna that they got. Jesus Christ said, I got one better. I'm the bread of life. And because of him, he's the bread that keeps us alive eternally when we would have died. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst. Verse 36, but I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe what? There it is. They were to believe regarding him. And a lot of people in the gospel believed. Yet there were some that didn't. And Israel crucified the Messiah. In the Old Testament, they were to look forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some in Hebrews chapter 11 believed. Then there was others that stumbled at the stumbling stone. There he was in the Gospels. He was right in front of them. They heard him. They saw him. They saw the miracles there. Then the 5,000 people that got fed. And they wanted a sign so they could believe. And there he was, the Son of Man, the bread of life. Man's choice throughout history has been always to believe the Lord Jesus Christ or not. And in this period today, that choice of believing the Lord Jesus Christ is still the same in many ways. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Some of us know this. It got quoted a while ago. In the Old Testament, they looked forward to his coming. In the Gospels, he was right there and they could see him. Now in this time period, we look back to see what he accomplished. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Jesus Christ, our choice or our decision to believe. And most of us in here have made that decision to believe this verse. And this is a verse of life. Remember, he's the bread of life, the bread that came down from heaven to give people life. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, we see exactly that. Yet they were to believe regarding him instead of working. Yet today, in this time period, instead of believing Romans 10:9, we have people working to be good enough, working to confess their sins, working to get circumcised. That wouldn't be all that popular after this fellowship. Some people hanging out for refreshments and a few of the boys in the back. Not so good. Be good enough, confess your sins, get circumcised. Get baptized. Quit smoking medical marijuana. Maybe whatever it takes. And it's all works, isn't it? It's all works instead of believing the Lord Jesus Christ. For those of us who are born again of God's Spirit, it's still our choice to believe what he accomplished. Philippians chapter 3, please. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, and in verse 9, Philippians 3, 9. Watch this. For those of us who are born again, it's still our decision, our choice to believe. To believe what we have. To believe his accomplishments. Philippians chapter 3, 9. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith or the believing regarding Christ. The righteousness which is of God by believing. How did we get righteousness? We got righteousness because of Jesus Christ. Here it says, but that which is through the believing of Christ or regarding Christ. We have righteousness because of Jesus Christ. You know, there's only one person in life that we can never get away from. And that's ourselves. And most people, a lot of people in the world are filled with guilt. And most people's answer to get rid of the guilt is to work harder, be a better person, do this better, do this, and then I'll be okay. But for those of us who've tried that, and I've tried that too, it really doesn't work. For us to be at home with our own selves, we need to be at home with the Lord Jesus Christ. The way to get rid of the guilt is not to work, 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 but it's to accept his work. And by his work, we are righteous. We just accept it. We accept what he's done. Look at Galatians chapter 2. Throughout history, the decision has been believing Jesus Christ. Now, for us born-again believers, we need to believe what he accomplished. Galatians chapter 2, please. Galatians 2, almost done here. Galatians 2, and in verse 20, Galatians 2:20, it says, I am, or I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith or believing of in the genitive, and that could be dealt with as regarding the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by believing of the Son of God. That's a genitive in the Greek, and it could be dealt with regarding the Son of God. So, how does a Christian live? What is a Christian supposed to do? For a lot of people, Christians need to do good works. Volunteer over here, do this, do that, community service, all these good works of man. And there's really nothing wrong with it, but you know what? You don't have to be a Christian to do those things. According to God's word, how are Christians supposed to live? By believing regarding Jesus Christ. By believing what we have, our sonship rights, our power, our righteousness, our abilities, all these things that we have in Christ. That's what Christianity is about. That's what it's about. What do we believe? We believe Romans 10:9, most of us. Now, according to what Lisi taught, man, we got a new identity, and it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. How are Christians supposed to live? It's bigger than putting the candles on the altar or going to church on time or doing this or doing that or eating, cooey on Thursday. Look at Colossians chapter 1, please. Colossians chapter 1. What what's Christianity all about? We're supposed to believe regarding Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, it says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus Christ isn't here. Who takes the place of the absent Christ? If there's going to be miracles done, who's going to do them? If there's going to be the love of God shown, who's going to show it? If there's going to be the word spoken, who's going to speak it? We take the place of the absent Christ, and inside of every born-again believer is Christ. And my decision, our decision is, do I choose to believe that? Do I choose to believe that? That I can operate all nine manifestations. If somebody died right here, right now, we have the ability to raise them from the dead. Now, I don't think anybody's going to volunteer to do that at this time. Jesus Christ raised people from the dead. Where is Christ? That's deep. And you tell me what you think about Jesus Christ, and I'll tell you how far you go spiritually. How far do we want to go? How big do we see Christ in us? It's bigger than doing community service, or community service isn't bad, but it's deeper. It's believing who we are in Christ Jesus. That is so deep. It's believing we're righteous, justified, redeemed, and we can walk free. We can walk with God, and God can talk to us, and we can talk to Him, and He can deliver. And through our lives, God will bring deliverance to pass in people's lives. How big do we see the accomplishments of the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, according to the book of Romans, God's solution for man's plight, is not free internet service. It's not more money in the stock market. God's solution for man's plight is not free medical marijuana. God's solution to make the world a better place is Jesus Christ. Yet how many people try to do all these things, and maybe some of them are good? God's solution to make the world a better place is Jesus Christ. And that's the book of Romans. We've looked at in the Old Testament and in the Gospels how Jesus Christ, people needed to believe, and that was the decision. Our decision is to believe Him. We're to believe to get born again, and we're also to believe to manifest what we have in the new birth. In the Old Testament, they looked forward to His coming, and part of their believing was to believe that. In the Gospels, He was right there, and they were to believe regarding Him. Throughout the records of the Bible, believing was required for Jesus Christ. Concerning Jesus Christ. This is no less true for us today. Will we choose to stumble at the stumbling stone because of our unbelief? Or will we live a victorious Christian life by believing what He accomplished? Jesus Christ, our choice, our decision to believe. Father, thank You for Your word. Thanks for loving us and taking care of us. Thank You for all You do for us, and for what a wonderful life we have through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank You that we can hold it forth and speak Your word and bless people with what You've given us. Thank You for Your wonderful Son and for everything He accomplished. Thanks for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, thank you very much. Michael, you're welcome.